If you enjoyed Tony X's tweets during the Stanley Cup playoffs,
this is the first time I've ever watched hockey, and this bleep has been lit for these first 45 seconds.
Or Leslie Jones' coverage of the 2016 Olympics.
Man, look at that shit, man. Look how fast they're going, man. That's crazy as hell.
Then you'll love the new hit show from Spike. Black people reacting to stuff.
Hey, yo, son, this Gavin DeGraw shit is dope. Get that motherfucking Jag shit. What up with that pumpkin spice latte, girl?
That's right. If there's a thing you don't expect black people to enjoy, they may just surprise you. Black people reacting to stuff. Coming soon from Spike. Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Of course you are.
The phone number to contact the show is 636-487-AND or WFMD show on Skype, which is all well and good. We are not live this week. This is a pre-recorded thing.
Guys, this happened in the past.
We're having a thing going on tomorrow night. Can't make it.
I'm gonna eat chicken wings.
You gonna bake them?
No, I'm gonna go. There's a tavern down the road.
You're gonna go buy?
Yeah, they got like 25-cent deep fried chicken wings. They're delicious. They like got they're crispy, like extra tasty crispy from the kernel. 25 cents a pop.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, they're delicious.
Is it only on Monday nights?
Only Monday nights.
Yeah, we need to switch to a different night.
They have a Monday night. Chicken wings special, dine-in only, can't carry them out. Then they have a Wednesday pizza and 25-cent deep-fried shrimp deal, which I enjoy very much. And then Friday fish fry and Saturday steak night, where you get 2.5 pounds of steak and all the fixins for like $12. So,
wow.
Yeah, they do really well on their special nights, and I enjoy every one of them special.
Travis, don't get too used to wing night, buddy.
It's a special thing.
You're busy on Monday.
I mean, you got it.
You go and you have fun tonight, but just know
the timeline is very confusing.
Yeah,
it reminds me of watching a lot of those time travel movies where I'm like, is this happening now or did this happen before?
Everything that's happening now is happening now,
right this second. But if it's not happening to you right now. It's happening in the past.
What happened to then? It's gone. When?
Gone.
Just now.
Tuesday's
You're
gone.
Living in now. You're going to see a movie today, right?
I'm going to go see Don't Breathe, yes. I'm going to go take the boy. I'm going to go see Don't Breathe.
That movie's based on the premise that the protagonists of the film decide for kicks they're going to go steal money from blind people. Right.
Yeah, that's what I assume. I mean, they don't play that off in like the first trailers, so I wish I would have never seen like a second batch of trailers for it. You know what I mean?
They said, we could go steal money from that guy. He's blind.
Yeah, it was like I thought at first, you know, when I first saw the first teaser trailer, I'm like, oh, somehow these guys just get caught in this dude's house and now he's going to kill him. And then you saw this next one, it's like, "Oh, but he's blind. Let's not Why are we really going to steal from a blind guy?"
Right.
And then he murders all of
and
them.
And the sequel is going to be like, you know, they're tripping crippled people.
Yeah.
And then like the crippled people get up and kill them.
Yeah. It's the people who we're supposed to root for who are horrible assholes.
Man, it's such a bummer that these people that are stealing from blind people are getting killed.
You know what they're gonna do? They're gonna paint them into a corner, though. I can see it already. Where there's gonna be some weird thing about the main character, the final girl, who you know, she's probably got like a 5-year-old boy who's got asthma and she can't afford the asthma medication. So she's got to steal from this eccentric blind guy so she can buy asthma medicine for her sick kid.
Well, first of all, she was peer pressured into it. She didn't really want to go in the blind guy's house and steal money from him.
Come on, Lucy, you know you need this, and so, we need you.
Yeah, so the first guy that dies, he's probably the asshole that came up with the idea to steal from blind people. Yep. He dies right away. And then the other two that weren't really into it but still went in the blind guy's house to steal money from him, you know, they're trapped. And it is such a fucking bummer that they're trapped in this, you know, crazy blind guy's house who's, you know, fucking bitter from being blind his whole life, and then some assholes break into his home. Fuck them! I hope he kills them all, Travis!
I do too. I hope they all die, truthfully, because he was just minding his own business in his house, being blind.
He was in his house.
Here, these people come to steal his fortune that he made, you know, making Braille recipe cards or something.
And this doesn't raise awareness for blind people, Travis. This doesn't make you want to help the blind.
I think it probably raises awareness for blind people just about as much as Daredevil does.
That Daredevil is an uplifting story.
Yeah, it's about a guy that gained superpowers because he got blinded, and this one apparently is a pretty different thing, where this kind of bad guy has superpowers because he's blind. Now he's going to kill all of these people who busted into his house.
Does he have superpowers? Is he a supernatural presence?
Well, it kind of seems like it. It's a, you know, they say once you lose your sight, your other senses are heightened. So I would imagine he's like a low grade Daredevil.
Oh, so he can like sniff him.
He can sniff him out. He can hear every little. That's why it's don't breathe. Don't even breathe, because he'll find you.
You know, it seems like that's got a lot of buzz, Travis, the blind guy movie. How did that happen? There's horror movies come out all the time. What makes this one so special?
I don't understand, actually, because there was a movie called Lights Out that came out, produced by James Wan, who did The Conjuring, Insidious, some of my favorite contemporary horror movies. And he produced this Lights Out movie, and I'm like, ooh, I gotta see that. And then this Don't Breathe trailer came out, and I'm like, oh, that's, you know, blind guy killing people. And I didn't really give it much thought. And I saw another trailer, and I'm like, man, that kind of does look good. And then I found out that it's directed by the gentleman who directed the remake, or the, I guess you could say, the contemporary sequel to The Evil Dead, which I loved very much because it was brutal and violent and just, it's amazing. And that sealed the deal for me. So
well,
I
saw the trailer for the blind guy that kills people movie, and it creeped me out because, you know, handicapped people creep me out.
Of course they do. They're not like you, and I know how you are.
They have some kind of physical deformity that I don't. It makes me uncomfortable to look at. In his case, it's his creepy, creamy eyes. I don't like them.
And that's because they creep you out, it's hard not to look. So then you feel bad about yourself because you can't help yourself from staring.
It's like when somebody's got a big zit on their head, or they got something in their teeth or something.
Do you point that out? Are you the? Because I usually
no. I don't point it out. I know it would make people feel awful.
But is it worse to tell somebody that they have food in their teeth or a booger on their face than it is to just let them walk around with that?
Tell them they got a bear in the cave?
Yeah, wouldn't you rather have somebody say, hey, dude, you got something sticking out of your nose. You might want to take care of that before you see, you know, 50 other people today.
You know, I don't like it when nobody tells me my fly's undone.
Right.
But at the same time, I think like if somebody like straight up said, hey man, your fly's undone, then it's just going to haunt me for the rest of the day thinking like, what'd they see?
Why were they looking at my crotchal area?
Yeah, yeah. And how long has it been down? Like, you think about the last time you went pee?
Yep.
It's just like being blind, I would imagine, Travis. I can see, like, I can relate to the blind because, you know, people have told me my fly is down before.
I think it's exactly the same thing when you fly. I think being blind and having your fly down in public are the exact same thing.
You know, Travis.
Yeah.
See, the people, they want to raise awareness, but they don't actually want to offer like any solutions or anything. They just want to say, hey, you know, I just want to make everybody aware of this injustice.
This is no good. You should all know that I don't like this thing.
Like, did you see the Colin Kaepernick?
You know, I've been offline for a couple of days, not really on purpose. I just haven't been looking at anything. And I didn't happen to watch that Green Bay San Francisco game because we watched the Nice Guys instead. But I did see, as soon as you might have tweeted something about the Colin Kaepernick, and then I looked into it a little bit, and now everywhere I turn, it's everybody losing their minds.
That fucking shithead, Travis.
Colin Kaepernick didn't stand up.
Well, I mean, losing their mind. Look, nobody's telling Colin Kaepernick he doesn't have the right to do what he did.
Well, of course.
You can do whatever you want, buddy. But, I mean, we can still observe what you do and say, yeah, that guy's a fucking asshole.
Yeah, that's kind of a douchey move.
Yeah, you know, the day after all those people in the gay nightclub were killed and people mm-hmm. were changing their Facebook picture to the rainbow flag as to say, guys, I'm raising awareness that these gay guys died.
Yeah,
that's a fucking bummer for them that they got killed.
My profile picture is blue for the Dallas officers that died that day.
Right. I isn't sitting down for the national anthem to protest the oppression of black people literally like the least you can do, Travis?
Not only is it the least you can do, but here's an NFL player who could be doing, I mean, he has outlets for this type of thing. And sitting down during a football game during the national anthem, I mean, what if we just thought, did he come right out and say that that's why he said
that? Yeah, he's sitting down because he doesn't want to pay tribute to a country that oppresses black people.
Oh, you mean the country that allowed him to play football in high school, college, and become an NFL player who makes millions of dollars for being very terrible at his job?
I mean, oppression is a strong word.
It really is.
Is there prejudice in the United States? Absolutely.
But he's discounting that.
Absolutely. Is the game rigged? Maybe. Colin Kaepernick explains why he sat during national anthem.
That's a headline.
I am not going to stand up to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color. To me, this is bigger than football, and it would be selfish on my part to look the other way. There are bodies in the streets and people getting paid leave and getting away with murder. Okay, Colin Kaepernick. Again, nobody's telling Colin Kaepernick that he can't do what he did, but people can certainly say, guy's a fucking asshole. What's your big fix for this, Colin Kaepernick? Like, what's your ideas? You're not paid to have ideas, right?
He doesn't need to do anything but just sit down, and awareness has been raised and everything is solved.
Oh yeah, we raised awareness.
Good enough.
Yeah.
You know what's
there's racists out there, guys. Now you're aware.
I just don't understand how a guy like that should be the one to try to do, especially in a venue like that. It's you're going to your job. There's a time and a place for you to raise awareness for whatever causes you want to raise awareness for. And your job, going to your place of work and doing it, is not the place for it. I could not get away with going to my work and just saying, nope, I'm not going to do this because there are people getting killed in the streets. So,
I mean, if we need solutions, here's some. Okay, you put those body cameras on everybody. Cameras aren't expensive. You put them on the police officers. They keep them on all the fucking time. If a situation arises where there's a conflict and they don't have it on and they say, oh, it broke, you're fired. Fuck you. Make sure it has the batteries in it. If it isn't, you're fucking fired.
Right. That's your job to make sure your piece of equipment works.
Right, right. And if your equipment doesn't work, fucking fix it. That's one. That's one.
Bring it to your supervisor's attention when you check it out and realize
At the start of your work day, you check and make sure that fucking blinking light's on and you keep it the fuck on. There you go. If a police officer asks you to get down on the ground and you don't, that was stupid. You shouldn't have done that.
You can complain about it later.
Absolutely. Cause they got that camera on.
Right, exactly. Could say, hey, there was literally no reason that he made me get on the ground. I complied with his orders so as not to get murdered. But now I'm really pissed off about it, and I'd like to sue said officer.
Right, because he has that camera on. And if he doesn't, he's fucking fired.
He's fired
and
anyway.
If he kills somebody without the camera on, then we'll just treat that like a straight-up murder.
Yeah, you straight-up murdered a person, and you turned your camera off to cover it
and
up.
And if you can prove that you didn't murder him and that you were justified, well, then fucking good for you. But it's a straight-up murder, yo. And honestly, I'd tell other people just to adopt the body camera purpose in their own lives.
Right, just slap on a GoPro and just walk around with it.
You can keep the videos for yourself. You don't have to share them if you're out doing shady shit. But I'll tell you what, it's a good deterrent for people to fuck with you if you have them on video all the time. We'll just be videoed all the time, Travis.
Yeah, why not? We're already connected. I'm sure our cell phone cameras are constantly keeping surveillance of us, so it doesn't really matter.
Speaking of cameras and your personal videos and all that, what do you think about this Leslie Jones business?
I think that all of the people who are messing with Leslie Jones should be put down. I don't find this woman funny at all.
No, I think she sucks.
Yeah. I mean, and I haven't seen the new Ghostbusters. I know you saw it, and just from the trailers, she looks like the worst part of it. But, you know, she's a human.
You know, I watched Multiplicity last night, was on cable, and I'm watching Multiplicity, and I was amazed that, like, Michael Keaton played four characters, and pretty much any time any of the four characters were on screen, and I mean, like, they didn't have different haircuts, they didn't have shit.
Nope.
But you knew which character was talking because he played four distinct characters.
Just by his facial expressions, you knew exactly who
and,
you were.
And, like, his mannerisms, the way he talked, you're like, oh, that's number two, Doug.
Yeah,
that's number three, Doug.
This one, that's number four, but that's usually because he's wearing like a flap hat and he's got some goggles on. And
but Leslie Jones could not play in Multiplicity because Leslie Jones has one mode, and that is yell a lot.
Right, that's her deal.
But at the same time, if you don't like Leslie Jones' humor, then you could just like not watch Leslie Jones, right?
You can like pretend Leslie Jones doesn't exist. It doesn't matter to you. It shouldn't matter to you if you don't enjoy what she does.
But at the same time, I don't even know necessarily if the Leslie Jones thing happened because people didn't like Ghostbusters, because people don't like her. We don't even know if that is the reason. Do we know that's the reason why it happened?
This is the reason. It's the exact same thing as the Colin Kaepernick trying to raise awareness thing.
God damn it, Travis. You're cutting out, and like you can't even understand a goddamn word you're saying.
Welcome to intermission. Yeah, intermission.
This is frustrating.
One, two, three. Oh, right on. Oh, got to know how to pony, like bony maroney, mashed potato, do the alligator, put your hand on your hips, yeah, you'll let your backbone slip. Do the Watusi, like My Little Lucy. Whoa. Whoa! Na-na-na-na-na. Na-na-na-na. Na-na-na-na-na-na. Na-na-na-na. Need somebody help me. Say it one more time. Na-na-na-na-na. Na-na-na-na-na. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Whoa! Whoa! Oh! You know, I feel alright? Yeah! Feel pretty good, y'all! Oh, yeah! No, 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 no! No, 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 no! No, 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 no! No, 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 no! Come on, y'all, say it one more time! No, 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 no! No, 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 no! No, 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 no! No, 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 no! Oh! Dancing in the alley! With Longtail Sally! Twisting with Lucy, doing the Watusi, roll your back, like it like that, do that jerk, oh, watch my work, y'all, wow, do it, wow, do it, watch me do it, oh, help me, oh, help me. Oh, help me! Oh, help me!
So the point you were making, Leslie Jones is like Colin Kaepernick.
Okay, let me see if I can say it again.
Should we just start the whole thing over? Do the whole blind guy bit again?
And then try to blend Colin Kaepernick into Leslie Jones. So my thought process on this whole thing is that the Leslie Jones thing is a lot like the Colin Kaepernick deal, where you're trying to raise awareness for the new hot button topic. And what happened here was somebody is very mean-spirited and hates Leslie Jones, so wanted to destroy her and call her names because they get some sick pleasure out of it. But then once she responded, a bunch of other internet a-holes saw that she was being affected by it, so they jumped on the Leslie Jones bandwagon, and they thought, hey, now I'm part of a collective that makes another human being feel terrible about themselves. Isn't that a great
victory? Hey, you look like that gorilla that got killed!
You're Harambee!
What, you can't take it? You're famous!
You can't take a joke? You call yourself a comedian? Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
What, you don't like getting on your Twitter and constantly seeing bullshit sent at you for no apparent reason? Fuck you! You're rich!
You're a goddamn Ghostbusters. You should be able to deal with this, you thin-skinned bitch.
You don't like people telling you you look like a gorilla every day? What, that bothers you? Well, why don't you get off Twitter then?
Oh, you did get off Twitter? Well, how about I attack your website now and put up naked pictures of you?
Oh, you don't like when your personal data is stolen from you and posted on the internet so that millions of people can see your butthole? Well, fuck you! It's the price of fame, bitch! Hillary Clinton tweeted to Leslie Jones and said,
Oh, bless her heart.
Yeah. Man, this is really a bummer. What's happening to you, Leslie Jones? You know, can't believe this. And Homeland Security's on the case, Travis.
Oh yeah. Let's get our government involved.
Well, and Dan Fernicase was arguing with me a little bit about this the other day, and he doesn't think that Homeland Security should be involved in finding the people who hacked Leslie Jones' phone.
Well, it has nothing to do with Homeland Security.
Well, here's the thing, Travis.
Mm-hmm.
Stealing Leslie Jones' personal photographs and hacking into her phone, that's fucked up.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
It's a fucking terrible thing to do.
Yeah. I feel horrible for her.
And I mean, and, you know, did I look at the pictures? Yes, of course I looked at the pictures, but I'm not the one who stole them, so I'm only slightly less of a shithead.
It's just like that phone hack that I looked at every single one of those pictures of all of those ladies.
And we shouldn't.
We shouldn't look at it.
Bad of us to do. But, Travis, we do a pop culture podcast, and if we're not in the know, then what are we even doing, you know? We have to see the pictures, Travis. It's for our listeners.
Our duty to be plugged into the vein of what's going on.
Right. Like we talked about that blind guy movie.
Right.
You got to know all this stuff.
Exactly. We have to know what's going on.
And so the thing is I bet the majority of the people sending things about Leslie Jones pictures are probably pointing out that although they aren't great, I think that they're probably better than what people were expecting.
Is that right?
She doesn't look as bad. Like, if I tell you Leslie Jones naked, you're probably picturing it not being great.
Yeah, I'd be like if you told me Melissa McCarthy was naked.
And Travis, it's not great.
Of course.
It's pretty not good.
I'd be like if somebody said, hey, you can look at nude pictures of Travis from the WFOD show. You're probably not picturing how bad it actually is. So.
Travis, I would compare Leslie Jones' naked pictures to Batman vs. Superman. Like, you go into it with all these preconceived notions about how shitty it is, because that's all you've heard for a couple of days is, man, it's so fucking bad. And then, like, it was still bad. It was bad. But it wasn't as bad as people probably imagined it.
So you're saying it's not worse than Hitler?
No, it's not worse than Hitler.
Oh, okay.
That's like the go-to, right? That's the bar?
It's worse than the head. Leslie Jones' naked pictures. Leslie Jones' naked pictures are worse than Hitler.
You know, they have the second season of that Amazon show where the Nazis won coming out.
Did you watch the first season?
I thought that was
very intriguing, actually. I like those weird alternate futures things where if this happened, everything would be different.
I'm done with Nazi shit, Travis. I think that if you use Nazis, then I'm out. I don't care what it is. If you make the bad guy in your thing Nazis, I'm like, no.
It has to be a contemporary Nazi, like a neo-Nazi.
Make a new Nazi. Yeah. I mean, you can even use red logos if you want. Give them little outfits that look like Nazis, but you can't call them Nazis. You just call them something else. And if you use Nazis as bad guys, I'm just like, no. You basically just made the bad guy something easy to make a bad guy. It's not complex. It's very simple. Nazi equals bad. I'm done with it. I'm tired of the posters for it. I'm tired of seeing the Statue of Liberty doing the Heil Hitler thing. Stop it.
You think about that. There's a couple of holes in those kind of deals with like the Statue of Liberty being different. Do you really think France would have given us Heil Hitler, Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, France is like, hey, you guys like that Nazi stuff, huh?
Here's a statue. It's a Lady Liberty, you know, the tenant of Nazis is Liberty. So here's Lady Liberty giving the Heil Hitler salute.
But here's the thing. See, I like complex characters, Travis, but I don't like it too complex that it's annoying. Like, I just watched that, what was it? I can't even think of it. Now You Can See Me, or You Can Now See Me.
Now You See Me. No. Catch Me If You Can.
You See Me, Now You Don't, or what's the name of that goddamn movie? The one with the magicians.
The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
It's Woody Harrelson.
I think it's Now You See Me, right?
The guy from The Social Lex Network, Lex Luthor, and then everybody else in the movie, like in the first 20 minutes, they had to explain why they're not in the sequel.
Like where is Isla Fisher?
Yeah, the first 20 minutes of that movie is like, oh, she broke up with you. That's sad. Oh. And then like Mark Ruffalo is an FBI guy, and like they had to explain why his partner isn't there anymore. And like she got promoted and moved to a different branch. That's sad.
Gives a shit about Mark Ruffalo's fucking partner in that movie.
So we're watching this movie, right, Travis?
Yeah.
And first of all, we don't remember what happened in the first one, really. I mean, the first one, but we don't really remember it. So, like,
Right? In this new one?
Yeah. And Mark Ruffalo's, like, part of the team now. And we're like, wait, no, Mark Ruffalo was the one trying to catch him. And then we like had to go back and watch the end of the first one to remember that Mark Ruffalo came out at the end and said, "I've been double crossing everyone the whole time."
He did?
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, because then they showed like how they got away with like the weird car crash thing, and yeah, and Mark Ruffalo was at the,
yeah. So Mark Ruffalo's, he's part of the team now.
So he's got the Rock complex in the Fast and Furious movies, where the whole time the Rock is trying to hunt down Vin Diesel, and then they fight on the rooftops. But now, now the Rock is their best friend and helps them machine gun the other guys.
Yeah, at the end of that one, didn't he say something like, you know, "Hey, I'm still gonna come get you."
Yeah, I don't think at that.
And then in the next one, he like came and got him, but he just came and got him because they're friends now.
And then he came and got him and gave him a high five. I'm here, Vin Diesel.
So, but in this sequel, Travis, everybody like double crosses everybody like six times, and they were all part of each other's magic tricks, and it culminated, and look, I'm all about saying spoiler alert, but you don't want to watch this movie. So I'm going to tell you the end of this movie, and you're just going to be fine with it, because fuck this movie.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you know the twist of the first one. It's still the same movie.
So if you remember, at the end of the first Now You Can See Me, they framed Morgan Freeman for the whole thing, and he went to jail. Morgan Freeman spent like 5 years in jail before they made a sequel, right? So Morgan Freeman's been in jail the whole time.
He's pissed.
Well, he's obviously pretty bummed out. He's in jail for something he didn't do. And at the end, you come to find out that this whole thing was orchestrated by Morgan Freeman.
Going back to the first one? So he orchestrated all of it?
The whole thing, Travis. He was the guy in charge. And so, you know, Mark Ruffalo, obviously, you know, as most of us are thinking, but you did like 5 years in jail, dude. And he said, that was part of the trick. And then he leaves, and that's the end of the movie.
So the whole time, Woody Harrelson and Lex Luthor are all best friends with Morgan Freeman?
Yeah, but they don't know they are. He's like the secret eye in the sky.
He set them up.
Yeah, he's marionetting them.
So, okay, so it's one of those...
Tell us how this is like Colin Kaepernick, Travis. It's,
so I liken the plot of this movie to Colin Kaepernick sitting down during the national anthem, trying to raise awareness for the new social justice cause. Morgan Freeman saw a problem. He put all the players in place to fix this problem.
Well, that is kind of what he was doing. You know, they go and they expose the people who are doing bad stuff.
Oh, see, the whole time.
With good magic tricks.
Good on him. See, the problem with this, I can't stand a convoluted plot like that where, okay, so he's been the mastermind of this whole thing. Now, if you go back and look, like, all of these people who he set up as chess pieces had to do exactly the thing that he wanted them to do,
right,
at exactly the perfect time for everything to work out the way that it did to get what he wanted.
Yeah, and keep in mind, like, part of his plan was to go to jail, and then he was just sitting in jail, and then, like, 5 years later, Mark Ruffalo needed him to help him fight. Why would you even think to call Morgan Freeman, who's been in jail for 5 years, to help find people that are hiding? Like, how would he know where they're hiding? He's in jail. But, you know, he called Morgan Freeman. He was like, hey, I bet you know where my friends are. They're hiding. He goes, yeah, I do, but you got to come bust me out of jail.
Oh, you mean all of these people who double-crossed me and framed me for a crime that I didn't commit? Of course I know where they are.
Right. Because I got the inside scoop.
Yeah, I know. I'm plugged into all this. These are my chess pieces. So I'm still going back to him, everything having to work out just perfect for him. So he had to know that Isla Fisher was going to dump.
Yes.
So that had to, that was all he rigged
because
all
they
that.
Got a replacement chick.
Oh yeah, Lizzie Kaplan was there.
Yeah. So, and they had to know that was coming. And so the replacement chick is it. Oh, and there's a Woody Harrelson twin brother who's evil in the movie also.
No, there isn't.
Yes, there is. Yeah, I shit you not. Woody Harrelson has an evil twin brother so that Woody Harrelson can play two characters. And Woody Harrelson's evil twin brother keeps double-crossing him. And, like, they keep instantly hypnotizing each other. So everybody just keeps getting hypnotized. And so, like, then, you know, later on in the plot, they say, like, ooh, you don't remember what happened here because you were hypnotized. And then, like, they have a bunch of pictures of them being asleep. Like, we put you on a plane here because you were hypnotized.
This sounds so bad.
Travis, one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Why? Like, and there's no... There's no way they thought there would ever be a sequel to this movie. There's no way. You watched the
Why
first.
Why would they even make one? It didn't do that good.
It did pretty well, probably better than they were expecting. And I don't think it cost that much to make. But do you really think there's going to be a return on a sequel? Like, who gives a shit about You Can See Me Now?
Yeah, and the thing is, if you're gonna make a sequel to a movie that you know probably isn't like beloved, I mean. And if I hear that the You Can See Me Now 2 comes out, I'm gonna, now You Can See Me when it comes out on video, you know? Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. when I'm gonna watch it later. I'll get around to it. If I happen to want to go to the movie and it's playing, I'll say, I remember not hating the first one, I'll go to this one. But I mean, you have to be aware of the fact that not that many people, like, love the movie you made.
Who?
They thought it was fine.
You'll never talk to a person that said they loved You Can See Me Now, the first one.
Guys, you know what my favorite movie is?
It's that one with the redhead who's married to Borat, and the guy from Zombieland, and the other guy from Zombieland.
Travis, how bad does your script have to be for Isla Fisher to turn it down?
Yeah, well, she...
What the fuck does she have going on that she's like, ah, no, can't do that?
I think Borat had her knocked up during the filming of this one.
Oh, that's a shame.
So pressing that they got this sequel out super fast because people were clamoring for it.
Like, oh, man, I really wanted to do that one.
And they're like, I think our script is so strong that we can write out Isla Fisher. I mean, it's a bummer, but I think we've got a real winner here. So let's just move ahead.
And they had to get what's that guy's name? The guy that smiles real big.
Dave Franco.
He died in the first one.
But he didn't, remember? Because that was, didn't he flip on that was that car? And then at the end of the first one, they showed you that he didn't die.
Oh, they showed you that he didn't die?
Like, it was a rig. They had some weird thing to
fly. Oh, I thought they just like wanted to bring him back. And so they just said, yeah, no, he faked his death.
Yeah, it was all a big ruse. He faked his death in the first one because they needed Mark Ruffalo to think Dave Franco was dead.
Yeah, but Mark Ruffalo was in on it the whole time, and they knew that.
Yeah.
So who were they fooling?
I guess they were trying to fool Mark Ruffalo and his partner.
We had to fool Mark Ruffalo, even though he knew about it. It was part of the trick the whole time!
Morgan Freeman had that set up. They knew they were going to try to trick Mark Ruffalo, even though
Morgan Freeman sends a memo down like Charlie's Angels. he's like, all right, this is what you got to do. You got to fool Mark Ruffalo into thinking that you're dead. And Mark Ruffalo, you need to be fooled that he's dead. He's like, why do we got to fool him? He's right here. It's part of the plan.
You gotta do it, otherwise the rest of it doesn't make any sense.
Look, we got some money in the budget to flip a car, okay?
We wrote in this set piece when a car flips over and we think Dave Franco's dead.
A burning car's gonna look great in the trailer. So yeah, enjoy the Blind People movie, Travis.
Yeah, it's. I'm certainly hoping it's better than Catch Me If You Can Part 2.
Now you can see me.
Yeah, now you can see me now.
Now you see me, now you don't, too.
Did you see that that one dipshit who used to be in the Now You Can Hear Me commercials, is he jumped ship?
Yeah, he's
at that other place.
Was he on Verizon and now he's on Sprint?
I remember. Yeah, I think that's what it is, or maybe vice versa. I remember.
Doesn't that just seem like a real slimy shithead thing to do?
Yeah, it sounds terrible. I remember when that guy got done with that ad campaign, because he was like a struggling comedian, and I had heard him talking about how it kind of wrecked everything for him because he was part of this national campaign that sure made him plenty of money, but like torpedoed his burgeoning comedy career.
Oh, so like every time he'd go somewhere, people would like, yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's like that Flo lady. That Flo lady fucking hates being Flo, I'm sure.
She was in a bit part in like either season one or two of Mad Men, and it completely took me out of it immediately because I was like,
what the fuck is Flo doing here?
She shouldn't be in Mad Men times. She's supposed to be selling insurance. But she was operating a switchboard, and it totally threw me. But that's what this guy hated, this thing. So he had to like disappear for all these years. And then when he did like come back, his grand resurgence was to do the exact same thing, but with a competitor.
And it just seems slimy and shitty.
Has there ever been...
Like, I just hate him now.
Well, of course they do. They're like, look at this fucker. We made this guy rich, and now he's over at the other guy's place.
And I mean, is anybody sitting at home going, oh man, if that guy switched to Sprint, then obviously I should.
Hey, that'd be like if those guys who are always sitting at Sonic's Drive-In, if they decided to start peddling, like Burger King sandwiches, I'd be all over it.
You would? You'd stop going to Sonic because you'd be like, well, obviously the Sonic guys found a better burger.
Yeah, and I know they're experts. They've been talking about it for 10 years, so they know what they're saying. But has there ever been another ad campaign like as big as that where the spokesperson has jumped ship to a competitor? Did Spuds McKenzie ever start drinking Miller Lite before he died?
Well, they had that one Taco Bell commercial where Ronald McDonald's were eating Taco Bell's breakfast. It was guys named Ronald McDonald. It was pizza equivalent of McDonald brother endorsing Burger King. Frank Carney, who co-founded Pizza Hut with his brother Dan in 1958, strolled out to greet a gathering of franchisees in 1997 and announced that he had found a better pizza. Sorry, guys, Carney said, drawing gasp. The better pizza was Papa John's. Though the scene was fictional, the sentiment was not. Carney and his brother had sold Pizza Hut to PepsiCo in 1977, with Carney leaving the company in 1980. He had subsequently franchised several Papa John's locations in Wichita, Kansas.
So in reality, what happened was these guys knew that they could sell their company for shit tons of money and then just be like, we'll start a new one. Same thing. Pizza. Isn't that kind of genius, though? You create this company that is doing really, really well. You have a giant corporation that says, hey, you know, we'll give you a lot of money for that company, and you can just, like, walk away.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, sure. Yeah, go ahead. You can buy this. We'll sell it to you. And then you already have the know-how to start the exact same thing up again. So you sold off that multimillion-dollar company, and you started another one. It's all good.
So, yeah, Frank Carney co-founded Pizza Hut, and then, like, after he retired, he franchised out a couple of Papa John's, and then they put him in a bunch of commercials in, like, the late 90s, and they said, hey, man, you know, this is going to be great for us.
So, essentially, what he did was he spit in the faces of the people who made him very, very rich.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I like to liken that back to Colin Kaepernick, who is talking about oppression by a corporation that made him very, very rich.
Right, yeah.
And he's like, hey, how can I bring some really terrible publicity to my company that made me very rich? Oh, I'll just sit down during the national anthem.
You know what the best part is? They went out there and lost 21-10. I wonder who he dedicated that 21-10 loss to.
I'm surprised at the podium afterwards, after he explained why he was sitting down, that he didn't say, yeah, man, we got some work to do, but I got to say my heart wasn't in it because of all the oppression that's happened. Maybe he set himself up for the entire season, and that's why he did this. He's like, man, I don't think we're going to have a very good year this year. Oh, you know what? I'll do something stupid in preseason, and then I can blame it all about that.
I'll start winning once all the problems in the world are solved. That's my boycott, is losing 21-10.
Once racism is over, then I'll start playing good football.
That'll fix it, Colin. The people of San Francisco will be very much aware. Did you see the latest Twitter account that followed us on the Twitter?
Oh, you mean hashtag Podern Warfare?
The Podern Warfare Twitter account that is encouraging people to retweet people who use the Podern Warfare hashtag. Mm. What happens, Travis, is if you do that, that is saying that you want to trade iTunes reviews.
And you should DM each other for details.
Right.
Don't ever DM me about trading iTunes reviews because I'm getting
retweets from when we started the Podern Warfare hashtag 5 months ago.
And this account that just opened itself up, about 2-3 weeks ago?
Making fun of the Podern Family hashtag, which is, it's just whores, Travis, is all it is.
Do you know what Podern Family is? And if you like it, that's your prerogative. But what Podern Family is, it's the same thing if you're old enough to know what MySpace was when it was the first social networking thing. It's the same thing as a friend train, where you just plug your account into a friend train, and everybody on this friend train is supposed to follow you and like your page, and you never interact with them, and you don't know who they are.
No, but then you can look at your friends. Like, look, I have so many friends.
I have 5,642 friends. Isn't this great? I don't know.
But the only reason all those people are your friends is because they, too, want to have lots of friends.
Like Team
They don't actually give a fuck about anything you're doing. They're only jerking you off so that you will also jerk them off.
Mutual masturbation with no outcome.
I mean, that of course was what we were joking about.
That was Peas in a Pod was the first one, and Podern Warfare was the second one.
And then it became real, Travis. It's like black people calling each other the N-word. Like they've just embraced the shitty word that people called them and just said, ha, yeah, it's funny. We're N people.
Yeah, it's ours now.
Yeah, it's ours now. We took the ER off of it and made it an A. They actually made the shitty hashtag that we made to make fun of them into a real thing.
Yeah, and now and they don't even understand when they're retweeting those original tweets that it was making fun of exactly what they're doing.
Do you see what happens, Travis, when you try to raise awareness?
Yeah.
Like, when you try to raise awareness for things, like, there's some people who might become aware of it. There's a few who will hashtag Peas in a Pod, hashtag life is tedious, hashtag Podern Warfare,
hashtag Satan answers prayers.
But then there's a splinter group who will then just like bastardize your message,
right,
and find your naked pictures that they hacked off your cell phone and post it on your website. You can't win.
The message
you don't need to raise awareness. Just be aware yourself and try to fix it.
Message always gets diluted no matter what you do. So guess what? Don't bring awareness to anything. Fix it yourself.
Just fucking fix it. This is what you do. This is what you do. You donate some of your time to go out and hit the pavement and go out there and try to come up with solutions and try to help. You write a check to people who are trying to help. Or you shut the fuck up.
Just live your goddamn life.
Go play football. Or do whatever it is you do. But don't raise awareness. It's the modern age, Travis. Everybody's now aware of everything. We don't need people raising awareness. Raising awareness is bullshit.
Everybody's aware of things, but they have no idea how to do anything about it.
Everybody's aware. Nobody is going to do anything about it. Everybody is just making sure everyone else is aware. Great. Now what?
Well, we could start a Twitter account.
And we can retweet each other in like this circle of jack off.
Or we start a parody account, like we are the national, it's the national anthem account, and all the Twitter account is just shit talking Colin Kaepernick for not standing up while my song was being played.
We gotta find some pictures of Colin Kaepernick's dick.
Post them on his website.
Yeah, we'll get that fucker.
We need to find an animal that he looks like and call him that over and over again until he quits social media.
Hey! You kind of look like this groundhog.
What's the matter? You don't like being called a groundhog? That'll teach you. Next time you'll stand up during the national anthem.
Yeah! Stand up to our song! Our song is playing! You stand up for it!
Fucking groundhog.
Fucking groundhog. Hey, groundhog. Stand up while our song's playing. That's the position we've all agreed on. We've all agreed that we stand up while our song is playing.
So just do that, groundhog.
And then what? And then you go lose 21-10.
Dedicate that to your cause.
There was an earthquake in France. I dedicated my 21-10 loss to them. Where will you and the world stop turning? Sorry for your loss and mine. But I've been oppressed. Oh, Jesus. So, guys, we weren't live this week. This was pre-recorded.
But you can pretend we're live. Just interact with us in the chat room.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the chat room generally pays attention to us anyway. They're all just kind of doing their own thing anyway. So.
They won't realize until the very end here that we're not live. Yeah.
So thanks for listening, and we'll be back live next week, normal time. Hopefully Napier will be here. We'll see.
Hey, go ahead and post pictures of groundhogs to the hashtag Podern Warfare Twitter page.
Yeah, just at Podern Warfare, hashtag Podern Warfare, and then a picture of a groundhog.
Tell them WFOD sent you.
Yeah.
Well, that's Napier's mama. Songs are not a river, let it go, man. I want to see it, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, love are some good things we gave us, and the greatest is love. Where were you when the world stopped turning on September Day? Teaching a class full of innocent children, driving down some cold interstate. Did you feel guilty cause you are a survivor? In a crowded room, did you feel alone? Did you call up your mother and tell her you loved her? Did you dust off that Bible at home? Did you open your eyes? Hope it never happened. Close your eyes and not go to sleep. Did you notice the sunset? The first time an agent will speak to some strangers on the street. Did you lay down at night and think of tomorrow? Go out and buy you a gun. Did
you turn up a violet old movie, you watch it turn on I Love Lucy reruns. Did you go to the church and hold hands with some strangers, standing line and give you own blood? Did you just stay home and cling tight to your family? Thank God you had somebody to love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, love are some good things he gave us, and the greatest is love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things we gave us, and the greatest is love. Greatest is love. Greatest is love. Where were you when the world stopped turning on the September day?
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
Guys, thank you for listening. You can catch us every Monday night, 9, 8 Central on strangelabel.com, or check out all of our back episodes at wfodicks.com. You can give us a quick follow on the old Twitter, guys, there, at WFODshow. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/WFODicks. If you'd like to send us an email, WFODshow@gmail.com. Call our voicemail, 636-487-4263. Thank you very much to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozenge, and Jody B. We'll be back next week. Thank you again. And bye. Bye.
Hey guys, Mike here. We have a Patreon now. Basically, it's a monthly donation type thing. It's stupid, but a bunch of people have one and ultimately we're just sheep. If you want to give us money to do the same thing we do for free anyway, that'd be nice. We'll say thanks. If not, no sweat. This won't change our relationship at all. You ungrateful fuckfaces.
All right, this was fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Did you listen to the you know, you listened live for both of them?
Live, yeah. For I probably caught most of it in and out.
Did you hear the thing about Drunk's fridge? In his
yeah, that, yeah. That's why a tale. That's why I posted that tweet and said a tale of two fridges.
Matt was laughing so hard like he was squealing. It was the funniest fucking thing.
What a weird scenario. And then. I mean, you try to picture that, and then you actually see a picture of a kitchen with two refrigerators.
There's a fridge, and then there's another fridge, yeah.
Yeah, and they're like in the most awkward position, like one's pointed towards the other one in a corner, and the other one's sticking out. And what makes it even worse is the fact that if you turn around, there's a dresser in there. Like, what kind of fucking weird amalgam of a home is he living in? It's like an M.C. Escher fucking painting.
You never actually get out of the kitchen. The whole world is really a kitchen. Once you're dropped into the middle of it in a room with no windows and doors.
And all stairs.
And then, like, you go to the fridge and you get something out of it, and then you close the door, and then you go to the fridge to get something out of it.
Do you think, how confused do you think Zool would be in that house trying to bust out and, like, possess Sigourney Weaver? He's like, what fucking fridge should I be in?
Just put a mouse down on the floor to see where it goes.
See, that fucking drunk is so weird. You know, I mean, when he based that vacation out to Colorado around that weed thing, and then they did none of that.
Right, yeah. They went on vacation, and they planned stuff, and then they didn't, like, he planned to go to the Cypress Hill concert, but then, like, he was like, yeah, but then I had to take a taxi, so I just stayed home that night. Yeah.
So they went halfway across the country to stay in a hotel.
And see, what the really funny thing is, I mean, like, you look at Drunk's kitchen configuration, and you say to yourself, that is a guy who thinks outside of the box.
Right.
But then he will fight me tooth and nail on things like the 24-hour world where everything's open.
Or the condiment gun.
Yeah. He's like, why the fuck would you have a condiment gun? He's like, motherfucker, you got two fridges in your kitchen.
Every point of view that he has from this moment forward is moot because he has two fridges and a dresser in his kitchen.